Perfect, perfect songs this morning. I come with joy to meet my Lord. At the end, we shall sing, "Praise the Lord, rise up, rejoicing." And now, Jeremiah was a bullfrog, run up to number one, top of the charts by Three Dog Night, one of the best-selling singles of all time. Originally a kid's song, "Jeremiah was a bullfrog," was actually written, "Jeremiah was a prophet," but nobody liked it, so Hoyt Axton changed it. "Jeremiah was a bullfrog"? No. Axton was right. Jeremiah was a prophet. The word of the Lord came to me saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, and before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations." Scripture and preaching sermons that are meant to open Scripture should give you an opportunity to let God speak to you as God spoke to Jeremiah. An opportunity that you might say to find yourself in the Word of God and the Word of the Lord, even if the preacher stirs your mind to ramble off down some sidetrack to some tangent, to find yourself in the Word. Otherwise, without the Word, we might as well have a lecture about economics or meteorology or toenail care. Bible readings are meant to open a window to let God speak to you in some way, and you have to mentally be there and tuned in, even let your mind wander with the preacher if the sermon takes you off somewhere. As I'm preaching from Hebrews in last Sunday's sermon, for example, Father Steve said something, it doesn't matter what, said something from which God spoke to me an entirely new perspective on various things that have happened to me in my life, things I did not expect or deserve, things that people have said or done that affected me significantly. Father Steve said something, and I was tuned in, and he said something by which God helped me realize a blessing no matter what. And just so again today, we have this reading from the 7th century prophet Jeremiah, Jeremiah of Jerusalem, he's called. And the story is the call of Jeremiah. Almost every prophet has a call story, and I always find myself here in this scripture. The scripture is about Jeremiah, it's not about me, but I find myself, understand myself better, appreciate my life by hearing what God said to Jeremiah and did with Jeremiah. Identifying with Jeremiah's call story is not a stretch for me either. For better or worse, I'm an Episcopal priest. Only after many long decades struggle with God, a struggle that started quite frankly and honestly and literally when I was 10 years old and only ended more than 30 years later in my early 40s when I finally, and I've told this story here before, when I finally threw up my hands and said, "Oh, what the hell, I give up," and peace came. Peace and joy. The most peaceful day of my life, in fact, was the day I entered theological seminary and I knew that I was there. Jeremiah, I am not. And I fought God longer than Jeremiah, who said, "Not me, I'm only Na'ar, a boy." But immediately knuckled under to God anyway. And I fought longer than Moses, who said, "Not me, I'm not a good speaker, I don't do public speaking." And then immediately knuckled under to God anyway. God, in my experience, is a good high-pressure salesman, but it took 30 years for me to knuckle under. And once again, I'm no prophet, but the second half of my life, I know the peace and joy of the Lord, and the peace, I tell you, is sublime. As the song says, joy to you and me. And so the sermon this morning, or homily, is meant to stir you, whoever you are, and whatever your age and place in life, stir you to examine yourself. Examine yourself, not for sin, you can do that during confession, but to reflect, to contemplate, Are you, am I living under the Lord? In our prayers of the people, we'll pray, give us grace to do your will in all that we undertake, that our works may find favor in your sight. Focus on that petition to God. Focus on what you're asking of God as you examine yourself. And examining yourself is the assignment that you're going to be leaving church with today to carry out in your life this week. In our confession of sin, we'll pray that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways. Focus on that prayer, on that petition, what you're asking God as you examine yourself. And then again, at the end of worship this morning, we'll pray, we prayed in right one at 8 o'clock, that we may do all such good works as thou hast prepared for us to do. And in right two this morning, 10:30 service, send us out to do the work you've given us to do. Focus on that prayer as you examine yourself. How are you doing compared to what you prayed God to do with you? I'm suggesting to you that you take the liturgical words seriously to heart. God, who is spirit, does not magically take up the assignment that you pray unto him and give him and magically do things. The prayers are just as much to move you, not to control God. 19th, 20th century poet Annie Johnston Flint. Christ has no hands but your hands to do his work today. He has no feet but your feet to lead others in his way. He has no tongue but your tongue to tell others how he lived and died. He has no help but your help to bring the world to his side. What is that work that God has prepared for you to walk in, that God has given you to do, that you're going to be praying about? What is it? And are you doing it? And as I look out at you this morning, and I know most of you, I think you are, and I'll just bet that you are. I'll bet you already are. Whatever the stage of your life today, I'll bet your work and your life are exactly in accord with God's dream for you. I do not know that, obviously, for sure, but God knows, and you know. And you know. Or if you do not know, you can work it out. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, and before you were born, I consecrated you. Are you living what God consecrated you to? Ask yourself that. Think on it this week. Are you living into God's consecration of your life? God's dream for you. Are you? How will you know? C.S. Lewis worked The Chronicles of Narnia in his book, the first book in the series, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. There's a conversation going on. And a line when and where the professor says to Peter and Susan, what's that? How will you know? Oh, you'll know all right. You'll know all right. Now, there's no reason to think that your knowing will be like my knowing. But I'm telling you that I know because my peace did not start until the day more than 40 years ago when I said, oh, what the hell, I give up and knuckled under to God's dream for me. If you're happy and content and at peace and filled with joy with your work and place in life, you're probably already there, and I'll bet you are. But check it out. You'll be glad you did. There's joy in the Lord. There's lots of joy in the Lord. Joy for you and me. Joy for you and me. Check it out. That's your assignment.